chapter 5 of the book of John. And by the way, we're glad for these Arkadelphia visitors.
Yes.
And Brother Webb, I believe, has mentioned others that are here. We appreciate you coming tonight. From Jonesboro, too. Amen. God bless you. Appreciate
Star City.
And I'm like the young brother here. I want to say also, we're glad for the rain, aren't we? I thank God for this rain. I was preaching at Jonesboro here a few days ago, and they hadn't had rain almost 4 months. I think it was 3.5, 4 months, something like that. And Brother Thomas, I got up and told the people, I said, do you know it rained that day? That Brother Thomas had a dog that had never seen rain. And that was the truth. It started raining, that dog went crazy. You know, lightning and thunder. Never had seen rain before. That was getting pretty bad, wasn't it? But thank God for the rain. Hallelujah. I mean that. God, you know what? Let's just thank the Lord for the rain. Praise the Lord. Chapter 5 of John, reading verses 1 and 2. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. I'll read one more verse. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now again from verse 2, I want to preach tonight. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. I'm going to preach on that word Bethesda tonight. Everybody say Bethesda.
Bethesda.
I'm sure you've heard of the Bethesda Hospital in Annapolis, Maryland. I want to preach on that word Bethesda. Now, if you have a good Bible, in the margin, it'll give you the meaning of that word. And that's really what I'm going to preach on tonight. The meaning of that word, Bethesda, the house of mercy. The house of mercy. Everybody say, the house of mercy. Say it again. The house of mercy. You know what? Of all the places in all the world that I could be tonight, I'm so glad I'm in the house of mercy. I'm in the house of mercy. Pray with us. And Brother Mansfield, take us to God. Everybody help him pray.
Our great God, humbly in thy presence, we are so grateful for your power, the love of God, the blessings of God. We praise us now, the anointing upon messenger. As he is anointed, our understandings open, our hearts be quickened, and we can receive the word of God. We thank you for it. We appreciate you and for your presence. Be with all of us. Bless us each one as we listen to the great word of God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Mercy is one of the great words of the English language. It is really indescribable. In all of its blessings, it is inimitable. Mercy is kind of like water out of the well. You never really appreciate it until it's all gone. And you never can really know its true value until you run up a place where you need it and it's not there. Now I want to preach on mercy tonight. I want to preach on the house of mercy. And I want you to let your mind remember that were it not for the mercy of God, you wouldn't be here tonight.
Right.
If the devil really had his way, you wouldn't be sitting on these pews, hearing what you're hearing,
That's right.
Feeling what you're feeling, and knowing what you're knowing.
That's all right.
Calvary was an expression of justice married to mercy. I want you to understand there are several facets from this great word of God that describe mercy. For instance, in the book of Ephesians 2, verse 4, it said, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Now, I'm not going to paint some remote Zeus on Mount Olympus that is terrible and will not allow you to come to him. I'm going to paint to you tonight a God that has got mercy to help you in time of need.
Right.
According to some theologians today, the gospel they preach, God don't really have a whole lot to give away. Hadn't got the Holy Ghost to give away. Can't heal anymore. Don't do any miracles. Don't answer too many prayers. In fact, God kind of went to the poorhouse. But I read in Ephesians 2 and 4 that God is rich in mercy.
Hallelujah.
For his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. You see, it takes a real mama to love some children in spite of their filth and in spite of their way of doing. And it took love and mercy to love you and to love me when we were doing things we ought not to have been doing.
Oh God.
In the book of Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible said, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." Now the setting is in the first three verses. When the writer said, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Now, in this condition, the next verse said, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." You see, if I had received my just deserts tonight, I wouldn't feel what I'm feeling and know what I'm knowing. If actually justice would have been demanded, I wouldn't have the Holy Ghost tonight, and neither would you, my friends. But mercy said, "I want to work with him." Mercy said, "I want to do something with his life." So after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. You see, if I stand on the Jasper Sea and sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, and some angel pecks me on the shoulder and said, "What you doing here?" I'm going to say, "Mercy said I could come."
Glory.
And if they try to take my song away from me, I'm going to tell them, "Mercy said I could sing a song." So if I make it to heaven, it'll be by the mercy of God.
That's all right.
By the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has given us abundantly. Everybody say abundantly.
Abundantly.
Through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Jesus reminded us in Luke 6:36, that "Be ye merciful, even as your Father which is in heaven is merciful."
Right.
Now, I have watched in my short lifespan hard, unrelenting, bitter, inflexible, unmovable, stiff, unbending, unrelenting,
rituals
oh, yeah.
that would show no kindness, show no mercy. And you know what I've learned? You reap what you sow.
Right.
And you know what I've learned? I'm going to show mercy. Because I never know down the road I might need a whole lot of it. In fact, whether you'll acknowledge it or not, we need it right now. Lamentation 3:22 said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Don't sit there and tell me it was a lucky four-leaf clover, a rabbit's foot, a horseshoe, a lucky coin, or some coincidence that you didn't get killed in an automobile accident, or that you didn't die on the operating table. No! No! It was the mercy of God!
Hallelujah.
In the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it said, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly."
Yes, He did.
"For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Yes, He did.
I appreciate Calvary, don't you?
Amen. Hallelujah.
When Paul was trying to call the Roman church to a higher level of dedication and to really be what Christ wanted them to be, here's the basis that he called them on. Romans 12 and 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You know what I kind of think that means? In a simplistic way, Paul was reminding us and the church at Rome, of course, I want you to dedicate your body. I want you to give Christ your physical energy and your time and your money. But the reason I'm asking you to do it is by the mercies of God. It was not a demand like Mount Sinai. It was not some inflexible Ten Commandment law. But He was calling us to dedicate in remembrance of God's mercies on us in time past. You see, when I look from the pit out of which I've been digged, when I look at the slop and the slush and the slime and the quagmire that I've been pulled out of, when I'm reminded how far the Lord has brought me, when I remember where I could have been, I tell you, it makes me want to thank God for His mercy. It wants me to thank God for His mercy.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
In 1 John 3:16, it said, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us."
He did.
And so therein lies the beauty of the incarnation. God is a spirit, John 4:24. There isn't but one spirit, Ephesians 4:4. And God is invisible, 1 John 4, verse 12, and John 1, verse 18, and 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, 1 Timothy 6:16. All speaks of God being invisible, whom no man has seen. Now that invisible God, who's a spirit, and remember Luke 24:39 said, "A spirit hath not flesh and bone." He became flesh. He came from glory to glory. He came from heaven to earth. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He became the Son of Man that we might become the sons of God. He was rich, yet for your and my sake He became poor. Now, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Now, God can't die. No way can God die. You can't kill God. He's a spirit. But the flesh that Christ took on at the incarnation at Bethlehem, that is the flesh that died. God never did die, but the flesh died. And I thank God for His love.
What?
Praise the Lord. 4:9 of 1 John, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because He laid down His life for us." Now, hearing His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, which means substitutionary sacrifice. Someone to stand in your place. Send His Son to be the propitiation for your sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. I don't think it's in the will of God that each of us should sit under our own tent and not love one another. I think we need to show mercy one to another. We need to understand one another. Without the mercy of God, all of us would be lost tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Verse 16 said, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love.
God is love.
Everybody say, God is love.
God is love.
And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So we see God in his mercy, which is giving us strength where there was no strength, and giving us understanding when others would not grant it. When mercy built a bridge over the rampaging floodwaters of despair. When mercy said, I'll give you light in the darkness so you needn't stumble and lose your way. Where mercy says, the devil wants you, but I'm going to give you another chance to come to the house of God and hear the word of God.
Yeah.
When mercy said, now I know the devil would like you to die of that sickness, but I'm going to see to it that you get a chance to receive the Holy Ghost if you want it, and be baptized in Jesus' name if you want it. And I'm going to see that you have a chance to live holy and righteous before you die. You know, I thank God for that kind of attitude. You see, 55:6 of Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him.
Right.
And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, I look at some of you that's in trouble with your lies or maybe bad habits, or you've done things no one else knows about, and you're sitting there realizing that, oh, I've got to face this someday. But I'm telling you tonight, if you'll come to Jesus, he'll have mercy on you.
Lord,
I don't care what you've done. It matters less to me where you've been. All I want you to do is come down here and get right with God.
That's it. That's it.
7:18 of Micah said, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? You know, some of us can't pass by a transgression. We'll remember 49,772 years, 6 months, and 4 days, and 7 hours, and 3 minutes, and 22 seconds later, what they done, when they done it, who they done it with or to, and what happened. And brother, we've got it down in our computer mind, and we ain't going to let them forget it either. But the Lord, in his mercy, he said, I'll just walk by your transgression like it wasn't there. You know why? Because his blood covered it. That makes me feel good.
Yes.
You see, the reason why I go on and read in Micah 7:18, when it said, who is a God like unto thee that passeth by the transgression of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again and he will have compassion upon us, and thou wilt subdue all of our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. Thou wilt subdue all our iniquities. Now, I don't care what bad habits you've got. I don't care if you can't get the victory over this, that, or the other, and it seems like it's about to get you down. You might be like the fellow that said, I know I quit smoking. I quit 5 times. And maybe chewing tobacco, dipping snuff, or telling lies, or stealing hubcaps, or rolling speedometers back. I don't know what your trouble is. But whatever your trouble is, I'm going to tell you, Jesus can subdue your iniquity.
Yes.
I don't care what bad habits got you bound. Mercy says, let me have a chance in your life. Mercy says, let me live in your house a while. Mercy says, let me walk with you a while. Go to the job with you a while. Mercy says, why don't you let me be the one to direct your life? I can do what no one else can do.
Hallelujah.
You see, I believe mercy is what you need tonight.
Mercy.
It can remake your life. Like no college, a personality expert can do. Amen?
Amen.
You see, Jonah prayed in 2:8 of Jonah. He said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Uh-huh. And you that are in the house of God tonight, you better stay here.
Uh-huh.
Lying vanities try to lure you out
from the house of God, away from a good pastor that preaches to you and Pentecostal doctrine, which is New Testament doctrine, of course, and it tries to lure you away. I want to tell you something, my friend. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. See, if you eat the devil's corn, you're going to choke on his cob. You see, he pays off in counterfeit money.
Yes.
Painted fire for the wintry seasons of life. He's a liar and the father of it. Now, he spins webs of intrigue, and he says things, follow me and I'll give you the blessings of materialism and money and prosperity and perhaps I'll make you renowned, this, that, or the other. You got to come on out of that church. Much like the place of refuge, city of refuge. If you stayed in its boundaries, you'd be all right. But if you left, you was open prey. I want to tell you, you're in the house of God tonight. You better stay here. This is the best place you could ever be. This is where you better live. You better find yourself here every time they got church. This is where God can bless you. I believe this with all my heart. With all of my heart. You see, we are coming to Mount Zion. In the book of Hebrews 12:22, it said, but you are coming to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Now, I can't count the angels that's here tonight. I really can't. I wish I could, but it broke down my computer the last time I tried. It just died of fright. I can't count them. There's an innumerable company of angels right here tonight, and I'm right in the middle of them. And the reason I'm feeling what I'm feeling, because I got mercy. I'm in the house of God. I'm where mercy is. You are coming to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Now you see, you can be in a racetrack tonight, betting on the horses, or in some smoke-filled gambling hall, or pool hall, or rattling dice, or maybe punching pills down your throat, or shooting dope up your veins, or you can maybe be out doing a lot of things in a lot of other houses and a lot of other places in this world, but you'll never find a better place in the house of mercy. It's just good to be here. It's just good to know who's here. It's good to know what is here. I want to preach to you about that. In this fifth chapter of John, if you have your Bibles, you may notice in verse 1, it states, after this there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, maimed, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had.
Right.
Now I want you to notice this. There was a pool. Some say this is a bunch of baloney. It never did exist. I'm preaching it. It's in the Word of God. And I believe it. That's like some people say the incarnation never existed. Holy Ghost speaking in tongues never existed. I'm really leery of these guys that chisel the gold up off the street, take the pearls off the gates, and say heaven is a myth, and this whole thing's a part of your imagination.
Yeah.
Fully on you.
Because
I know I felt this, and it's real.
Yes.
Well, there was a pool here, and it was called Bethesda. Now, a certain season, an angel would go down and trowel the water. Now, around this pool, among the five porches, lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. You see, when that angel troubled that water, the first guy in got his healing. Now, number two didn't get it, or three or four, or five or six, a seventh or eighth or ninth place didn't get it. Just number one, that's all. The first one into the pool got his healing. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, do you get the picture? Here these people are laying around this pool, waiting. Everybody say waiting.
Waiting.
Say it again.
Waiting.
Say it again.
Waiting.
Say it
Because you see, that's kind of what the devil likes for you to do, is just wait, procrastinate, prolong, put off. It's not your day, it's not your hour, it's not your month. You can't have it this time. You can't have revival. It won't come. All you can do is wait. I hope I can get to you before long that you don't have to wait any longer. But they were around that pool waiting for the moving of the water. Waiting for the moving of the water. All right? And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now, much like the woman last night with the issue of blood that was sick for 12 years with it, this man for 38 years had an infirmity. Now, my friend, that's a long time to be sick. That's a long time to put up with an infirmity. I hope you won't be mad at me for saying one more time. I think this fella was sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
I think he was at the point he wanted something to give him relief. And oh God, I wish you'd get that way. I really do. I wish you'd settle that bitch tonight and say, hey man, I'm tired of living the way I'm a living. I know there's something better for me than what I'm doing. I know I can live a better way than I'm living. And I'm tired of just sitting around and doing nothing. I want something to happen. Well, buddy boy, you came to the right place tonight. Well, a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case. I like that. Knew that he had been there a long time in that case. Jesus knew how long he'd been laying there. In fact, he knew when he brought him there. In fact, he knew when he first caught the disease. He knew what happened to him. And he knew all about him. You see, Hebrews 4:13 said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You see, John 2:25 and 24 speaks that Jesus knew all things and that it said he needed not that any should testify, man, for he knew what was in man. When the disciples prayed for a successor to Judas Iscariot, in Acts 1:24, they prayed, thou, Lord, knowest the hearts of all men. So I don't need to go into this, that Jesus Christ knows everything. Knows everything. He knows it all. Every bit of it. He knows it. As Peter told Jesus in Luke 21:17, thou, Lord, knowest all things. Okay? Now, Jesus knew that he had been a long time in that case. Now, I'm looking at some of you tonight. I don't know what you got. I don't have no great big gift to discern it. But I know one thing. Whatever you've got that's a hindering you, Jesus knows all about it. Whatever sickness you got in your body, Jesus knows all about it. Whatever depression that's plaguing your mind, Jesus knows all about it. Whatever you go through, Jesus knows all about it. Whatever decision you're trying to make, Jesus knows all about it. I believe he's here tonight, and I believe he knows everything. Well, Jesus knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Listen to this plaintive wail. Listen to this man's pitiful story. I have no man. No one wants to help me. I'm all alone. Here I am in this pool. And I know that if I could just be the first one in the water, I'd be healed. But while I'm coming, I really tried, Jesus. In fact, last year I come in fourth. And the year before I made seventh. But oh, I give it all I could, Jesus. But while I was a-coming, I almost made it. And you know what? Somebody just stepped down ahead of me. And it was all over. And I just fell in the water and got wet. And they fished me out and said, sonny boy, just lay there and wait till it moves again. And they left me there all wet. And that's all I got was all wet. And I'm not trying to say you're a loser tonight, but there's very few of us have come in first in commercial endeavors,
all right,
first in artistic endeavors, and first first in educational endeavors, and there'll be very few of us have bronze plaques and be rolled up in Ripley's Believe It or Not, or make our names in some hall of fame. Most of us are just everyday garden variety, Mr. and Mrs. Average Citizen. And we won't be no trailblazers and Albert Einstein or Thomas Edison or Alexander Graham Bell or Richard Perry, Robert Byrd, or we'll never make any great Napoleonic name. No, most of us are just regular. We've tried, but we never did make first. But oh, don't you sit there with a complex. I know something you can be first in tonight. Yes. And if you'll let me preach to you, I know a way you can defeat the devil, and you can be first.
Preacher.
Well, you see, he told the Lord, he said, but while I was coming, another step down before me. I just didn't ever make it in there first, Jesus. I can about hear some of them boys around the pool tell one another that. Hey, Zeke, you know, I made 7th the other year. And Tomas reached back and said, yeah, I ain't done no better than 20th. And some fellow sitting in a wheelchair said, buddy, I got 2nd one time. But some fellow with crutches, he stopped my wheelchair and with his crutch and leaped in ahead of me. And maybe some fellow sitting over there said, never done no good. And there they sit around whining and complaining and longing and hoping. They was hoping they could be that one and only, the chosen one that could be the first into the pool.
Yes.
And that man was telling Jesus, I have no man. Nobody wants to help me. Now, I'm not leaving this particular evangelistic thrust, but I want to throw this out to some of you that don't pray in the altar with the seekers, and some of you that don't fast in the week, and some of you that won't help out by teaching a Sunday school class or sing in the choir or pay your tithe or come faithful to church and live holy and dress right and do right and you just want to do your thing. I'm telling you, this world needs somebody. This world needs somebody to help them find Jesus. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another step it down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, rise, take up thy bed and walk. You don't have to wait for the seasons. I am the maker of the seasons. You don't have to wait for the angel to come. I command the angels, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately. Everybody said immediately. Say immediately. Say immediately. That means September 27, 1980, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, tonight, this minute, this hour, while it's raining on the outside, at this time in history, your destiny can be filled with the Spirit of God. You can find healing. That means tonight, God's ready to do business in your life. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till next week. You don't have to wait till next revival. Tonight! Tonight! Hallelujah! Well, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. I can see the old boy. He'd been laying there by the pool 38 years. He'd been sick. And Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the old boy, he just got up, started folding his bed up. And you know what he did? He took up his bed and he got up and he got himself out of there. I can see some of them around the pool lounging around, and they looked at him and then maybe they said, hey, what's Jacob doing over there? He's making up his bed. What's he going to do? I think he's leaving here. How's he going to get out of here? The season for healing's not here. I don't know. I think he short-circuited and took a shortcut. I think he found out something he ain't found out. I think he knows something we don't know. He's making up his bed and he's going to get out of here. And immediately he was made whole and took up his bed and walk. I can see him as he started out. All them people laying around that pool. That's a kind of depressing sight. And I'm not knocking anybody sick, but it's depressing to be around sickness all the time. But I can see him with his bed rolled. He said, "Excuse me there, Zeke, but I'm leaving here. Excuse me there, Thomas, but I'm leaving here. Excuse me there, Brother Simon, but I'm getting out of here. Excuse me there, lady, I'm leaving this place. I ain't going to stay here anymore. I'm going to get out of here. Watch out, I'm going to step over you. I know you got to stay, but he said I could go. I'm going to leave here. I'm going to find me a better place. I'm going out of here. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm going to tell you from my heart, if you want something from God, you can have it. If you want the Holy Ghost, you can have it. If you want deliverance, you can have it. Right here tonight, the Lord could say unto you, take up your bed and walk. And you know what you can do? You can step up tonight and say, goodbye loneliness, goodbye heartbreak, goodbye sin, goodbye alcohol, goodbye illicit sex, goodbye immorality, goodbye. I believe it here. I believe it here right now. I believe Jesus Christ has got the power to give you deliverance. Cut your hands, everybody. Your turn. My time has come. Ain't no fair. You didn't come in first. How'd you get that anyhow? You a born loser. Jesus said I could have it. That's how it come. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. On the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And then he was marching down through town with his bedroll on his back. Hey, you broke one of our rules. You don't carry beds on Sabbath.
Yeah.
It's a Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed.
Uh-huh.
He answered them, he that made me whole,
yeah,
the same said unto me, take up your bed and walk. If he's good enough to heal my body, he's good enough for me to follow his commandments.
That's it.
Watch out now. If he's good enough to heal your afflictions tonight, he's good enough for you to be baptized in his name. If he's good enough to heal you, he's good enough to fill you with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I don't care what the religion is saying, denominationalism says, and they've got this rule and they've got that rule. Take up your bed and walk tonight. Take up your bed and walk tonight. Take up your bed and walk tonight. God's got a real experience for you. Not a handshake. Just put your name in the church roll. You don't have to sit there in a dead church feeling nothing. Let empty buckets down, empty wells, and guitar growing nothing up. Pick up your bed and walk. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out of there. I said, come on out of there. Well, whew. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wished not who it was.
Enough.
For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. There he is over there. Leave, I'll find him over there. Findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, hey, yes, oh, Jesus. Behold, thou art made whole. Now, I know that you've got a tendency to run around and live with barnyard morality.
Uh-oh.
Just do the best you can, okay? I know cigarettes, you know, you can't hardly, they're hard, aren't they? Hello, 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 hello. And that Levi Garrett, boy, he's a mean dude, isn't he? And that old red man, he got a chaw that everybody likes to chomp on. And I know it's hard. Just do the best you can. And afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more.
Sin no more.
Sin no more. Sin no more. I don't believe God gives you the Holy Ghost to go out and sin. I don't believe God saves you to go out and sin. I believe if he does something for you, he wants you to go out and sin in business. Sin no more. Lest a worse thing come unto thee. Better be careful. You spent about 38 years being sick, laying around that pool with a whole lot of hopelessness. And you've never had hopelessness like you're going to have if you go back into the sinning business, boy. You're whole. I got you out of that mess. I got you out of that log jam. I got you out of that sticky mire. I delivered you from that bad, bad place you was at. And you quit your sinning. You quit your sinning. I'm telling you tonight, if God's done something great for you, you better stay in the house of mercy. I said you better stay in the house of mercy, and you better stay out of some of them other houses. You better stay here where you found God. Sin no more, that's the worst thing coming to thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. He had done these things on the Sabbath. Well, they got mad because he healed on the Sabbath. He broke our rules.
Yeah.
But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto in our work. You know what that means? It means simply, Look, I healed this man on the Sabbath, and if I take a notion, I'll heal another on the Sabbath. And I'll tell you a third thing. If I take another notion, I'll heal another man on the Sabbath. And I'll tell you something else. Hey, come here, Whiskers. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you something. You ain't going to stop me either. Hey, come here, Rabbi. Come here, Mr. Highfalutin. Come here. I want to tell you something. My father worketh hitherto, and I work.
Right.
I'm going to work. Oh, I like this. I like it. You see, the gates of hell's not going to prevail against the church of the living God. You see, God will give anybody the Holy Ghost that meets his condition. I don't care what these fellas with the frock-tailed coats and the collar turned around backwards says. I tell you, if you want God, you can have him tonight. If you want deliverance, you can have it tonight. If you want the Lord to work in your life, you can have him today. I don't believe Jesus come down here to close up shop. I believe he's here to work tonight, don't you? And therefore did the Jews. You see, they got so mad. They sought the more to kill him.
Yeah.
Not only because he had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God.
Uh-oh.
You're all right as long as you preach healing, but when you get on that one God business, start telling people who Jesus really is. He's not second person so-called Trinity. He's not some sort of inferior deity, so-called, that he is God. They don't like that. But I'm here to tell you, I got my healing, and Jesus is God, too. I'm telling you something. The Lord delivered me from all kinds of things, and Jesus is God, too. I'm here to tell you, I've been baptized in Jesus' name, and Jesus is God, too. I'm here to tell you, I spoke in tongues, the Holy Ghost came in, by the way, Jesus is God, too. I'm here to tell you God can give you a job and make a way where there is no way. But Jesus is God too. I'm here to tell you that he can bless your finances and he can bless you in hell. But Jesus is God too. I'm going to preach that right along with healing. My father worketh hitherto and I work. Therefore the Jews thought the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, said also God was his father, make himself equal with God. Everybody say equal with God.
Equal with God.
Did you ever read Philippians 2:6? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Did you ever read John 14:28? Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. Now, wait a minute. If you believe in three separate distinct persons in the Godhead, you got a contradiction of Scripture. Jesus said in John 14:28, my Father is greater than I. Here in Philippians 2:6, said he was equal with God. Now, how could God be greater than the Son and he be equal with God? Well, I'll tell you why. If you believed in one God, and only one person of God, and if you believe that there are no persons at all in the Godhead, not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, but rather that the Godhead is in a person, according to Colossians 2:9, in him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily, you'd understand what I mean. What he's talking about is the flesh and the spirit. As to the flesh, the spirit always was and always will be greater than the flesh. The spirit is God. The flesh was the manifestation, which was the Son. And the spirit is always greater than the flesh. And that's what Jesus was saying. But in his deity, in his incarnation, in his understanding as God manifests in flesh, he was equal with God. He said in John 14:9 and verse 10 in particular, Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Have you ever seen two divine persons? Never. They only saw one. You'll only see one. You go to heaven, there'll be one throne. One's going to sit on the throne. You never see three persons of God. You'll see maybe many manifestations. God can take on many ways. But there's one person of God, and his name is Jesus. And he's going to work, and I'm going to live. And he's here tonight, and I think he's here for you to take up your bed and walk.
Have you ever felt like that you've been in the problem long enough, and you've been pressed down long enough? Oh God, you'd like to come out of this situation that's got you bound, and you feel like I've been hanging around this town long enough. Summer's almost gone. And I've got to move out of here some way. And something's just about to press you down. I've got some news for you tonight.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to lay around the pool of life anymore. Take up your bed and walk.
Yeah.
Come on out of that pew right now. Come down here right now. Jesus will do something for you right now. You're in the house of mercy, brother. You're right where God can talk to you, sister. You're where God can do business with you, brother. There's mercy all over this place tonight. If you want it, you can have it. Don't sit around.
just sit there. Just let them sit there with their unbelief. Let them sit there with their contradictory beliefs in the Bible. Let them sit there not believing God can heal, God can give the Holy Ghost, or God can work. Just let them sit there. I'll tell you what you do. Just step over them. Come on. Just come on out anyhow. Yeah. Come on out anyhow. Yeah. And let God do something for you tonight. Would you raise your hands and praise Him right now?
Praise God.
Stand with me and raise your hands again and worship Him. I'm asking you the question tonight. Wilt thou be made whole? Are you tired of laying there and taking everything? Are you tired of never being first? Are you tired of always someone beating you to the punch? Someone else receiving what you need? Would you like to make it tonight? Take up your bed and walk. Let's pray now for God to do something in this altar service tonight. Pray that God will talk to someone tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you made me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. As I look upon you tonight, I am not just telling you these words. If you'd like to have something better than just a waiting game, paradise that never comes, your promised ecstasy, happiness, and the drugs and the alcohol and the immorality never produce lasting peace, I'm telling you, if you'll come to Jesus tonight, He's got exactly what you need.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about it is, He'll give you the faith and the courage to walk right out of circumstances that ordinarily would keep you bound. As the man around the pool, he had no man to help him. No recourse but to wait. Till Jesus came and gave him the wherewith to walk right out of his circumstances. I'm telling you, you can do it tonight. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what drug or alcohol or influential person or thing you're under the control of. I couldn't care a snap of my finger. If you'll let Jesus, He'll give you the power to walk right out. Now you may have to step over some people and over some things. You may have to say, excuse me, but I'm leaving here. But if you do it, He's got deliverance for you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I want everybody to stretch their hands to heaven right now. I want you to pray. Pray that God will touch some hearts here tonight. You that want the Holy Ghost, come on tonight. You that got a special need in your life, come on tonight. Come on tonight.
My Lord.
You that are in some depressing set of circumstances, come on tonight. Come on tonight. Come on in the name of the Lord. Come on tonight.
Thank you.
Are there any tonight that would care to come? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to keep praying. I want you to keep praying. I want you to keep praying. You don't have to tell me a thing. God knows what you need deliverance from.
Yes, He knows.
God knows the help that you need. God knows where you need to go, what you need to do. Don't lay there anymore. Get up and make your bed up and come on out of there. Are there any more tonight that would like to come and pray? Hallelujah. I want some of you brethren to come and pray with these brothers tonight. God bless them. Two or three more of you sisters come and come pray with this young lady. As we wait a little while now for others that want to come. Are there others tonight? Are there others tonight?
And mercy.
You don't have to die the death of a sinner. You don't have to die the death of hopelessness. Come to Jesus and pray tonight. Come on, saints of God, raise your hands again and pray. You can't.